Well, I'm here with Stuart Mackley. I'm at Fulham Football Club's training centre. Stuart, thanks for having us here.
You're welcome.
My first visit here, and I'm absolutely stunned by the place, actually. It's tucked Thank away you. Here, and it's a peaceful, lovely spot.
Yeah, it's a lovely site, kind of south-west London, yeah. Nice.
And you've been here, what, three, 4 years now?
It's coming to the end of my third season here at Fulham.
Okay.
Yep. First season in charge, yeah. Taking over from Declan, who went over to AS Monaco.
Okay, so you were a little team there, weren't you? I mean, so you're kind of on your own now in terms of running this site.
Yep.
You don't look after Craven Cottage. That's looked after by Gareth,
yeah,
isn't it?
Gareth has just taken over from Anthony Quinn at Craven Cottage. When Declan went to AS Monaco, the club split the sites in two. I took Motspur, and Anthony took Craven Cottage, and Anthony's now left the club, and Gareth's now taken his position.
So, your route into turf care, yeah. You've had a few stops along the way, but mm-hmm. it started up in Sheffield. You're a Sheffield lad, yeah?
Yep, Sheffield, born and bred. Started at Sheffield Wednesday, 3 week experience, actually.
But you didn't want to go in there as a
person,
did you?
I wanted to be a physiotherapist. I like to see the physios running on when there's an injury, and thought I'd like to do something like that, and especially involved with my club that I support. Unfortunately, there was no opening for a physio. Work experience, so I got offered 2 weeks with the ground staff, and 18 years later, here I am, head of grounds at a different football club.
You know, you started that works experience. Was it an instant kind of thing with you? It was, oh, I like this.
Yeah, I really loved it. I loved helping the team out, helped cut Hillsborough, walking on the pitch at Hillsborough, my home club. And yeah, just pushed to become an apprentice after I left school. So already had a job lined up when I was 15, pretty much.
What was it that switched you on? Was it the fact, here I am, I'm at the club I love and I support, or was it the actual work?
I think it was that initially, and then I obviously really enjoyed seeing how the guys prepared the pitch for games at the weekends, and yeah, they just switched and just really wanted to do that and pursue it for my career. So
how long did you spend at Sheffield Wednesday then?
I was there for 7 years.
Okay.
Yep, quite a stint there. Unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of resources when I was there, but saw a job opening at Arsenal, and I couldn't turn that down when I was going to go and work with Steve Braddock, one of the best in our industry. Yeah. So, took that with both hands and left Sheffield and moved straight to London.
So, you moved away from home? Were you mm-hmm. still living at home when you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Okay, so back in the big smoke.
Yeah, big lights, bright lights in London. Just threw myself into working at Arsenal and absorbing everything like a sponge, really, as much as I could. I know I wasn't there very long, but I think the lads at Arsenal taught me pretty much everything I know now and give me a good grounding to send me on my career in a good way.
Well, we've been wandering around, and you know, you can see the stamp of what you've had as an experience in terms of working with Brads and that kind of, as you called it, the Arsenal way, if you like.
Yeah.
You got a super tidy workshop.
I'm still scared of Steve coming to put his finger underneath the rotary mower to see if it's clean enough. So,
it's that attention to detail.
It is attention to detail. It's good housekeeping. Everyone should always keep the mowers as tidy as possible and the garages as clean as possible. Just sets a standard for the rest of the site and sets a standard for the team.
So you Arsenal for a couple of years, and then it was off to not such quite bright lights at Reading, but it was a step up career-wise.
Yeah, I saw a first assistant role available at Reading and wasn't sure if I'd progress as fast as I would have liked at Arsenal, so took the first assistant role, went to Hogwood Training Centre before they built Bearwood, and then stayed there for a few years and got promoted and became deputy head at Medaitski.
Okay, so Medaitski, that would have been a few years old by then. Did you get into any kind of new pitch constructions or anything there?
Well, at the time we had London Irish, and the Deso was on its last legs, really, at the end of its life. So it was reconstructed while I was there in 2016, on the top of my head.
Okay.
Much needed, new playing surface.
And was that a new experience for you, going through a construction, or had you done any of those?
Apart from seeing renovations at Arsenal, and that was like my first like involvement with big renovations and reconstructions, working under Adam Grantham, who's now over at Norwich, doing a fantastic job over there. So it was really, really good experience at Reading.
So managing a surface for both rugby and football, that's got some challenges, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was really difficult. I did learn a hell of a lot during that time. things we did wrong, things we did right, and hopefully take on board that and use that further down the line in my career. But yeah, it's tough times. Anything with dual use is really hard work.
Okay, so spent your time at Reading,
mm-hmm.
and then next stop was Fulham, yeah?
Yeah, Declan had got the role at Motspur Park. I came and did a trial with him, looking to become his deputy, and worked well together straight away, because obviously I'd known Declan from Arsenal, and just fitted right in with a deputy role here at Fulham, and moved on from there. I helped put the Arsenal stamp essentially on Fulham and help improve the pitches, the standards here. And all I've been doing since then, since Declan's left, is continuing the good work we started.
So it's progressing. I mean, I see you wandering around here and you're picking up bits of litter and you're kind of obsessing about how things are looking. Yeah. Yeah? You're even kind of weeding under here before we sit down. Yeah. What else do you want? Well, what have you done with this? I mean, you say you've kind of just built on what's there. Have you made anything new or different in the last?
Well, we changed the match pitch into a hybrid construction.
That's this pitch here.
That was 5% before. Made improvements to the first team areas, making little adjustments to how they were set out. But I think the next project and the last piece of the jigsaw is to reconstruct the academy pitches on site. They need to be brought up to a Premier League level, which we're a little bit behind where we should be at the moment.
So at the moment, we're coming into renovation season, mm-hmm. yep. I guess. Have you got all your renovations planned and do you know what you're doing?
Yep, all planned, all priced, all the boxes ticked for where people are going to train or where they're not going to train, and all the eventualities covered already. So we're going to look to just renovate this match pitch as normal. This game renovated a little later than usual because we have to keep it in play for the 21s final part of their season.
Right.
First team pitches will come out as usual straight after the last game, which is against Luton. And then, yeah, hopefully it'll be starting the academy reconstruction, if approved, in the next few weeks. And if it's not approved, we'll be doing normal renovations.
That amazes me that you're, you know, 3 or 4 weeks away from doing a total reconstruction and you don't know if you've got the budget yet.
that's the world of football, and we've kind of left in the lurch a little bit with this one, with this pitch, and we got told last minute that we could have it, but hopefully we'll get it over the line.
Okay, but you've got a plan A and a plan B.
We certainly have.
Okay, so you're prepared for all eventualities, as it were. Okay, so once you get past your renos, and we're looking at bigger projects, because mm-hmm. It's, again, what's quite clear to me is you like projects, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing more I'd like than coming into a place and making, like, putting your own stamp on it. I think I find it quite monotonous just going into a place and just maintaining the level it's already at.
Is that why you weren't interested in maybe taking on the stadium?
I've done my time at stadiums, to be honest, and at the time it wasn't the right decision for me to go and work at Craven Cottage or push to be the head at Craven Cottage. I'm quite happy learning at the training ground, learning my craft, and seeing what works, seeing what doesn't, and yeah, just continuing to learn how to manage teams, and the craziness of training grounds, really, day to day.
There's a lot more moving parts, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is. There's spinning plates, I think, what was wrote an article about this place. It's certainly a spinning plates.
So what's the big projects that you've got in mind?
Well, there's still quite a few things to finish here at Motspur. Certain areas what we can make better, a bit more aesthetically pleasing. But
so more the surroundings rather than the surfaces?
Yeah. Obviously the academy pitches, they need to be brought up to spec. But going forward in the next few years, we're going to be looking to build on our satellite training centre.
Okay.
That's going to be happening relatively soon. So
that's just across the road, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So we already have the site there. So, yeah, that's going to be something.
Is
really
it just a brownfield site at the moment? Or is it?
It was actually the BBC Sports Grounds.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Okay, right.
It's quite renowned in the area for being high quality, but it's just left as is at the moment until we start constructing pitches and facilities over there.
So you've got a blank canvas there, then?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, yep. So you're spending a bit of time on working plans on that, or are they kind of...
Plans are already in for planning permission reasons, but obviously when we get further down the line to start constructing it, then we can start putting input of what kind of pitches we do want out there, what layouts we need, what's required.
Okay, so on site here you've got, what is your makeup of pitches,
etc.? So we've got three hybrid pitches, two which are CIS, this one's Grass Max, and just normal, natural pitches for the academy, two academy pitches, two 3G pitches here as well.
Okay, they're in the dome, aren't they?
One in the dome, one's just outside, yeah.
Okay. So you've got quite a bit on your plate here to look after as it is. So
what's one thing is, it's quite astonishing that, compare it to like somewhere like Leicester or your Arsenals or your Tottenhams, how far behind Fulham are of the elite clubs, really, or elite training grounds. I think, hence why we're building across the road.
Yeah.
We need more space to keep the standard of the pitches as high as they can.
So you're talking about in terms of the amount of surface you've got to enable you to move things around and manage the surfaces and keep them up to spec. And what about the facilities around you as well?
The facilities, we're quite limited here on site. We've got buildings what have got historical significance.
Yep.
All our trees are TPO'd. So things are quite plunked around here at Fulham. But we're getting there. We're moving forward, definitely.
Just as an aside, historical significance you mentioned.
Yeah.
One thing you told me when we turned up, this was part of Chariots of Fire.
They
used it as a running track. Was it for actual, where they trained, or was it?
Yeah, I think it was filmed over here in the stand over there. I think there's a plaque over there somewhere.
Oh, is it? All right, okay.
This used to have a running track around this pitch, and when we were reconstructing it, we were finding old bits of the running track in there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Look back, you came in, you started on a works experience, decided, well, this is something I want to carry on doing, yeah?
Yeah.
That developed into a career that, you know, you've now got to where you are, and who knows where you're going to go next. What's it like attracting staff for you here, even as a Premier League club?
I think in the London area especially, we find it really hard to attract new members of staff. There's quite a lot of other football clubs around the area, prestigious gardens in the area. Wimbledon Tennis, for example, is just around the corner.
Yeah.
So we're competing against all manner of businesses to attract the staff. One thing what Declan started, and I'm going to continue, is to try and benchmark our salaries, keep our salaries going upwards so it's competitive with other teams in the local area, and keep the youngsters coming in. Obviously, we've got a couple of apprentices here already, and they're on their qualifications, and give them a push on into the career. So we're just about to take an apprentice on at Craven Cottage. So one thing we're very keen to do, Gareth and myself, are to encourage youngsters to come through. But going back to the original question, it is very, very difficult to attract staff, and the recruitment process takes a long time.
And it's expensive.
It is expensive.
Not just in terms of the advertising, etc. It's when you then factor in the amount of time you take out of your role. Yeah. Or the extra hours you do to do it, which is more likely.
This is why if we can benchmark the salaries and retain staff, we don't have to spend money on recruitment and time, which is the most important thing, what we lose when the team leaves.
Paul Burgess, you know, not too long ago, came back, you know, last year. It's been quite well noted, the amount of money that he's managed to kind of put behind recruiting and building the team that he is building there at Chelsea. He's up the ante, I guess.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
That's got to be a positive, hasn't it, really? I think what Paul's done to help drive base salaries in the industry is brilliant. And it's really making our industry become a profession as well now. People wanting to come into it, can earn good money, get good qualifications, and turn into really good groundspeople.
So we were talking off camera earlier, and to summarise what you said, probably the bit that is more of a challenge now for you, other than the surface, is actually getting your head around the management side of things and all of that that entails. Filling out forms correctly, doing the budgets, dealing with people, both team members.
And managing upwards as well.
Managing upwards. Do you think there should be more training before groundsmen and grounds team members make a step up into management?
I think that sits with the head, really should coach their deputy or their assistants how to progress when they're going to move up into the industry, you know, move on.
We don't see much, I mean, in terms of formal training out there for that.
There's some bits you can't, some bits there aren't any formal training for. Yeah, you either have the skill or you don't sometimes, I think.
So when you go and talk to your line management, and you know, a request goes into the board because you need a new whatever, yeah, mm-hmm. or you want extra money for this, etc. How are you justifying that? Are you just saying I need it, or do you have to put a business case together?
I've been working extensively on my business case for 3 or 4 months
okay.
Prior to meeting you today for the reconstruction of the academy pitches. So I've done a lot of research and stats behind what I'm asking for and reasonings and why it's worth doing it for the business. So okay.
You're not just going in and saying, yeah. I need a new mower because it's getting a bit
no,
old.
No, they don't just hand it off and go. No, they don't do that. So.
Yeah. And nobody taught you to do that.
No, I took that. I was off my own bat. I'm aware that I had to do a business case for an item like that. But even for asking for certain mowers in the summer, I've still got business cases and justifications of why I do need them and what they will bring to our department.
So you haven't to learn another language, essentially, yeah?
Essentially, yeah.
I mean, one very notable head who's in a quite senior role, when he first took a step up, he went to his kind of first executive meeting or whatever it was, and this term ROI was being trotted out, yeah?
Yeah.
And as far as he knew, you know, that could be the Republic of Ireland. But he was just kind of, he phoned a mate and said, what's ROI? Oh, okay, return on investment. Great, yeah. Okay, got it now, yeah. But, you know, that it's about talking the language mm-hmm. that the people above you understand,
yep.
yeah, or because they're doing it day in, day out.
Exactly.
You know, if they came down here and you started talking your language around turf care to them, they'd be equally lost, yeah? But you've got to put it in terms they understand, and that's normally in terms of what's that going to mean to the business in terms of, you know, a payback. It's either going to improve something,
yep.
it's going to cost us less,
exactly.
or it's going to make us something.
100%, yeah? That's how it is.
And, you know, that I think is the biggest challenge for people to take.
I'm not saying I'm an expert at anything in my field, but it's something what I'm always learning, how to deal with management, line managers, coaches, even down to my team who work for me. It's learning how to talk to people better or get the best out of them. So it's all a big learning curve, and we're on that journey, so I'm relishing it.
You seem to have quite a good relationship with the coaching staff here from some of the stuff we've been chatting about. And I think not necessarily direct line to Marco Silva, who's the manager, but I think there's, you know, other guys that are around that you're dealing with that are quite helpful to you.
Yeah, the first team coaching staff are brilliant, to be honest. It's probably the best set I've worked with in all my years I've worked in professional football. It's just building that rapport when you first meet them. They pretty much joined at the same time as I did. Once you strike that relationship, you can approach them and what you need off them, and vice versa if they need anything off the grounds team. It's just an open conversation. It's good to have that communication.
Well, you're lucky that, you know, they've stayed in place for quite a long time now in football. Yeah. And let's hope that continues for you. If you look forward to the next chapter in your career, Stuart, mm-hmm. what do you see as, you know, the big things that you want to tick off in your career?
I think the first thing is just to make sure I deliver on renovations this year, so the first team come back and all the other teams come back to good surfaces. That's going to be the big...
Is this your first one flying solo?
First one flying solo, yeah, okay. Under my name. So just deliver that. That's the first goal.
Feeling confident?
Yeah. I've got a good team behind me. The lads who work for me are brilliant. Rob, Russ, the seniors and deputies, fantastic. And all the other team, brilliant lads. They've all supported me since I've taken the role. So with their help, we'll deliver as we did last year.
Okay. And other ambitions?
I think what excites me is obviously the new training centre across the road. That'd be brilliant.
You'll have a project.
Yeah. I think that's got a little bit of my eye on that one. But let's just deliver this, I think, this year.
Yeah.
That's baby steps.
One match at a time, eh?
One match at a time, yeah. You're as good as your last match.
So you mentioned the team there.
Yeah.
I mean, we should talk about them, because I think how many have you got on your team?
There's 10 including myself.
Okay, here, looking after how many pitches?
We've got five grass pitches here and 2 artificials.
Okay, so you seem to have a ratio of 2 people per pitch across both the stadium and here. You've got some newbies coming through.
Yeah.
What's the experience level of the other guys that you've got?
I think generally Rob, who came from Morecambe, he's been in the industry a while, and Russell, who came from Tottenham, very experienced guys, rely on them heavily to run day to day and teach the other members of staff the standards, what are expected. But all the other lads who are all on their level two courses, they've just finished their the spraying certificate today. They're all keen to learn, and that's kind of the drive behind the team. Everyone wants to improve. Everyone's getting a little bit down if they haven't put a bang straight line out or something, or because everyone's trying to be like a perfectionist. It's really good to see.
And that kind of school of Braddock mentality seems to be sticking with you. Maybe not quite such a hard taskmaster.
Yeah, can't be like Braddock. He's a one of a kind. Yeah, I'm having a go at you for putting the lights on at 7 p.m. on the tractor because he thinks you want to go home. So I don't think I'm that bad yet.
You probably did.
Yeah, I was flashing the lights. Like, come on, it's time to go, surely. Just one more run of the Coro or something. But they were good times at Arsenal. But yeah, just a big learning curve this year, I think, for me. Okay. And then we can start maybe trialling new things next year. Just find my feet, I think, this first year.
And then
year,
put
really.
Your stamp on it in yeah. coming years, yeah?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Stuart, been great sitting with you and talking.
It's been a pleasure having you.
And thanks for taking so much time out of your day. I know it's a real inconvenience for you, particularly yeah, with the you know the end of the season close and you wanting to get ready for renovations.
No, but, you're welcome.
Congratulations on what you've achieved so far, and we look forward to seeing how it goes over the coming
Cheers.
Months and years.
Thank you.
Well, I'm joined today by Gareth, the newly installed head groundsman at Craven Cottage. Gareth, thanks for your time out. I mean, we're at the training ground here today at Fulham. You've only started, what, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, it's fresh in.
Yeah.
How are you finding it so far?
Yeah, really good, actually. Still in the learning curve, still trying to take everything on board, but I seem to be getting to grips with it at the minute.
You're not new to Fulham, though. You've been here, what, 18 months now?
18 months, 2 years, yeah.
Okay.
I was at Southampton before this.
So you worked with Andy Gray there, I take it?
Yeah, under Andy Gray for 4.5 years, roughly.
And how was that, working with Andy?
Really good, actually. Really, again, a really good learning curve because I was new into the football industry at that point. So he was really good at mentoring me and helping me along the way to get where I am today.
And in terms of where you started out, I mean, we guessed from the accent that it's Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
What attracted you to turf care as a job? Is that how you started out? Or
It is, actually, yeah. So I used to play golf. And as everyone wants to be, you play a sport, you want to be pro at it, and then you soon realise that you're not good enough. So the next best option for me was to actually be involved in the maintenance side of it. Got a job at my local golf club at 16, 17 years old and sort of moved on from there.
And was it what you expected in terms of, you know, turf care? I mean, it's a bit different to football, I know, but
yeah.
You know, 16 years old, was the job what you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, it was a lot more detailed than what I actually thought. I think this is where, you know, amateurs at any sport can learn. You know, it's not until you're actually involved in it you actually realize the amount of effort that goes in to prepare the course or the pitch for that for that one day. So I think that was the one thing that got me was I loved the science behind it all.
Okay.
and learning, you know, all the different specs of everything and how there was so much, you know, chemicals and biology and, you know, maintenance actually went into it.
So you love the science side of things.
Yeah.
Was there anything that was a complete surprise and thought, oh, this is a bit harder than I thought, or?
Getting to know what each nutrient done, I would say, was the main shock at the start, because you would never think that, you know, grass needs, you know, the iron, the calcium, the phosphorus, the potassium, you know, all that sort of stuff. So at the very start, it was, you know, that was a bit mind blowing for me, really, because I never learnt anything like that in school necessarily.
Now, did you have that kind of opinion that everybody seems to have, that, you know, oh, you just cut the grass and water it and maybe put some seed down and some fertilizer?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
And I still get called the glorified gardener today, which which is a bit of a kick in the teeth, but you have to laugh, don't you?
So how long did you stick in golf then?
So I was in golf for about 10 years, roughly.
Okay. Not all in Northern Ireland, though?
No, no. Spent some time in Australia and New Zealand. Just done a little bits of golf courses out there. And then, yeah, back to Southampton.
So Australia, New Zealand to Northern Ireland, bit of a different climate.
Yeah.
Different culture.
Yeah, massively.
Is the job regarded any differently out there?
I think at that point, whenever I was there, I think there was a lot more respect around the grounds industry in Australia compared right. to obviously Northern Ireland, where I come from. Their life's obviously made a lot easier with weather. You know, we have 360 days of rain in Northern Ireland, where they have 360 days of sunshine, you know. Sure. So that took a bit of getting used to, you know, and you had to sort of completely change some of the things you learnt from working in Northern Ireland to yeah. working in Australia. You know, you just can't go out and do certain things that you wanted to do. So again, I think it was good to get both sides of the spectrum in okay. regards to the weather-wise.
A real education.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay. So you liked it out there?
Loved it.
Why'd you come back then?
A woman.
Okay.
Yeah, not through the want of trying. I would have loved to have stayed out there, but unfortunately I couldn't. So
okay.
I had to come back to England. And I think whenever I sort of become fully qualified at the job, I always said to myself, right, at some point I want to work for a Premier League football club.
Ah, right, okay.
So it was always a dream or a goal, should I say, for me to try and achieve. And coming back to England was a good stepping stone in doing that.
So that stepping stone was Southampton.
Yeah.
So how did the Southampton job come about?
So initially I applied for a job as match day staff right. At St Mary's Stadium. And then I arrived there for the first game and Andy Gray was like, oh, can I talk to you once it arrived? And I was saying, oh, no, what have I done? And he just said, oh, you're asking about a full-time job. It just so happens someone's handed their notice in this week. And I was wondering if you'd like to come in and give it a go and see whether you liked it or not.
Wow, okay.
So yeah.
And I guess you liked it.
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, so you worked with Andy, did you say, for about 6 years?
No, just slightly less, for about four and a half years, yeah.
Okay. So what do you think Andy taught you then? Because he's obviously highly regarded and he's now at the FA at St George's Park there.
Yeah. Taught me quite a lot, because obviously going from golf to football, there's a massive gap, I think. You know, all your practices are, even though it's the same industry, it's still so different at the same time. So it was having to manage the sort of the daily usage and making sure everything was prepared for the first team in the correct way, you know, making sure it was actually up to that standard. And then learning how to manage people and people from outside, contractors, and also managing myself first and foremost.
And what was your progression there? Because you started off obviously just joining as one of the team.
Yeah.
Where did you progress to?
So started off as a normal groundsman there, working at the training ground. And then after about 3.5, 4 years, a position came up working for the ladies team right. at a site called AFC Totten, which is a non-league team. That's where the ladies okay. were playing their home fixtures at that point in time. And I ended up getting the head groundsman role there, working for them.
And what sort of team did you have there?
It was literally just myself.
Was it? Yeah, okay.
That was myself and a couple of really helpful volunteers who were both in their 70s.
Oh, right.
So they were really good. Like, they loved it. You know, it was actually, you know, you're never too old to learn, you know, and they like actually liked me being there because they could learn off me. So that was good.
So in terms of the support you were getting from Southampton, were you getting all the kit you could need, or were you able to, you know, so it was probably one of the best non-league grounds?
Yeah, it was, all the kit and more. Not only that, you know, the lads would come over and help out from the training ground,
okay.
You know, if ever needed anything. And by the time I was leaving there, the 23s were playing some of their fixtures there. We held the International Cup and we had Wolfsburg and another German team, I think it was. No, Wolfsburg and Valencia. Actually.
Okay.
So that was good to have, showcase, you know, what we can do in England for them. Because obviously, again, you go to Europe, it's slightly different.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a head groundsman at a non-league ground would be totally unheard of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what brought you to Fulham then?
Career progression. The position came up for the head groundsman. I applied for that and wasn't successful, but they opened up a role for me as deputy head to assist with Anthony, who's now left.
Yeah.
And it's worked out really well. I think, you know, I've learned from Declan, who was here, and I've also learned from Anthony, who I've worked under.
That's Anthony Quinn.
Anthony yeah. Quinn for yeah. 18 months.
I wondered what he was doing after Guns N' Roses. So you worked with him for 18 months.
Yeah.
And then Anthony's moved on.
Yeah.
Was it straightforward you got the job as the head? Or?
No. So I had to go through an application process, the same as everyone else, you know, two interviews. And then a couple of days before Anthony was due to leave, I got informed that I was successful in getting his position. So, yeah, I was over the moon to get that.
So going from kind of deputy, almost kind of like one of the lads, to now the guy who's running it
yeah.
and got to manage the team, which is a total of
two people, including myself.
Okay. did that transition feel quite natural, or was it something that was difficult?
Because
you know, it's suddenly having to manage somebody perhaps that you've been working alongside
yeah.
for a while can be a tricky process.
Yeah, can do. Yeah, it was a lot smoother than what I thought it would have been. The guy who's there with me, James, he's very understanding. You know that I have to, you know that I'm stepping up. And I think it was quite good because you have Anthony was sort of not necessarily on the tools as much. So whenever I was out on site, I was maybe managing the maintenance side of stuff.
Yeah.
And trying to assist Anthony as much as possible. So even then, you know, there was I still had that management side of stuff along with James.
Okay.
So it's been a lot smoother than what sometimes it can be for people.
Okay. And you get much support in terms of, or did you need much support from the club in terms of how you become suddenly a manager who's got to now look at, I guess, some Excel spreadsheets?
Or yeah.
You got a budget meeting this afternoon, yeah. which, you know, well, welcome.
Yeah, I know.
2 weeks in, budget meeting.
Yeah.
And then all the things like, you know, appraisals and all the kind of admin that comes
with yeah. Yeah, the support is there. You know, as you said, I've got a budget meeting this afternoon. So again, this is just part of the sort of steep learning curve that I have to see us out to the end of the season here at Fulham. We're quite lucky we only have 4 games left now,
right, okay.
which is a massive help because then I can then take the time to sort of sit down and do the things that I need to do and teach myself and learn from the likes of Stu, who's based at the training ground, to help me and taking those next steps, I guess, up to being a head man.
And have you done stuff with Excel and budgets before, or is it kind of just a...
A little bit, not too much. But, it, you know, again, I've done a little bit of Southampton, but
yeah.
there are systems, and every system every club uses is massively different. So it's just getting your head around actually using the systems rather than what's in them, more so than anything.
Two of you looking after Craven Cottage,
yeah.
you know, historic stadium. It's got yeah. some quirks about it, and we'll come on to, you know, what it's like to manage as a surface in a bit. Doesn't seem an awfully big team for a Premier League football club. Do you benchmark that against anywhere else?
No, we don't benchmark. We're quite lucky. We've got a very good match day staff.
Right.
We've got a couple of lads who are available during the week because they're maybe at uni or, you know, they have holiday or time loo to take with other jobs. So
okay.
there's a couple who are quite regular and coming in and helping out during busy periods. The likes of the game just gone there this weekend. We had 4 people on site every day.
Do you get some support from the staff here as well in terms of the training ground, or is it?
Yeah, yeah. So we have a couple of lads who come down and help us on the match day, but then we have one member of staff based at the training ground who does 3 weeks at the training ground and 1 week at the cottage. So if I can call upon him for the busy weeks, then that works out.
Okay, that's
perfect for myself and Stuart.
So it's not quite just 2 of you then?
No.
2 and a quarter.
Yeah, 2 and a quarter, yeah.
Okay. Let's get onto the cottage now, which,
yeah.
you know, historic, it's, you know, I think it genuinely has got a cottage in the stadium, hasn't it?
Yeah,
which I think
it does,
is
yeah.
the director's palace by the sounds of
yeah.
it for match days. Yeah,
so. Not my bed, unfortunately.
I think what you're saying earlier is one of your biggest issues is access and where you put kit.
Yeah.
How do you get around that then? What are the issues first off?
So the issues are we only have one access ramp in and out. And we have no actual sheds themselves. Everything has to be stored underneath the stands. And then we have 9 LU120 grow lights, which are hard to manage with getting them in and out. During game days, we have to store them in a compound or a school, which is just up the road, and then bring them back down in through down a main road with people. So that's probably the main challenge on a match day, and match day minus one is actually getting those lights out of the stadium, storing them, and then bringing them back in, you know, especially with an evening kickoff and a highly residential area. You know, we're driving tractors up and down the road with lights on the back. There's banging, there's engine noises.
Where do you store them?
There is a compound in just at the back where the new stand is being built, which is like their storage area. So they close that down on a Friday afternoon, and we put the lights in there and get them straight back out after a game.
Okay. But you've still got to go out around the residential streets.
Around the road,
Okay. All right. You've got a Sys hybrid pitch,
Fully
stitched.
Fully stitched, yeah.
What's your view on that at the moment? Is it a nice, easy one to look after?
I don't think there's anything such as an easy pitch to look after. It does have its quirks and issues, I guess, a bit like the actual stadium itself. You know, there's certain ways we have to manage it. But the actual pitch itself, it's reasonably good quality. I think, you know, with the demand of Premier League now and cup games and stuff, you know, we're pushed to our limits, but we, you know, it's just some part of the job that we have to overcome.
Shade's an issue through a big part of the year, I guess, but at the moment it's less so.
Yeah.
You also tell me that you don't have to use as much fertiliser, perhaps, as others, and that is because of the construction of the pitch, is that right?
Yeah, so we probably use, I would say, maybe put a number on it, about 75% of what maybe other clubs would use on a sand-based pitch. We're slightly different. There was, I'm going to say, it's peat mixed in along with it, which was put in there to obviously hold on the nutrient and stuff, but it hasn't necessarily worked out the best. We do have to do regular maintenance with ProCore aeration and keep the pitch as clean as possible, or else we just start to get the algae and clog up the pitch.
So there's a lot of aeration.
Yeah.
And you're saying you're doing it how often?
Probably you try our best to get it once a month. Again, that's dependent on fixtures, you know, when we can squeeze that in to make sure we're not making the pitch too soft for a game or it's getting too firm.
And you're sharing a lot of kit with the training ground here, I think, aren't you?
Yeah. So the likes of like the ProCore or big machinery, we try our best to store it at the training ground and then just bring it down to the cottage whenever we can, or we have
that access,
pretty much.
What's your favourite bit of kit?
The Uni Rake.
Why? I shouldn't sound surprised, but you know,
it's just such a good tool. I think you can do so much work with it with minimal damage. You can do it at any point of the year. It's just always great to have.
And just going back to the Sys pitch, how long has that been installed now?
That's about 8 years off the top of my head.
Which is pretty much coming towards the end of its shelf life, I guess, is it? I mean,
what
do they tell you when they give it to you, do you know?
10 years, roughly, isn't it?
10 years, okay. So within a couple of years, you're going to be looking around.
Yeah.
You know, without going into detail of what you might or might not look at, I mean, would you happily go with a Sys pitch again, or do you think there are other options that have moved on?
I think there's always other options. You know, there's... You know, you have to do what's best for your, not only for yourself, but mainly the club.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be heavily focused on what the club's plans are. So within the next sort of maybe year, those discussions will be happening, and we'll see what's best fits best for us at the cottage then.
So four games left.
Yep.
When that fourth game is finished.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to the pitch? Is there some corporate stuff? Are there any events in the summer? Or?
Yeah. So we've got 3 weeks of corporate. And in the middle of that corporate, there's a potential of a under-23s fixture, I think, in there. So we're going to have maybe 10 days of corporate. We'll have to shut the pitch down for 3 days, potentially have this fixture and thrown in the middle, try and pull it back up to some sort of standard for the 23s, and then just give it back to partnerships and corporate side of stuff. But again, it's all part of the challenge, isn't it? You know, you have to deal with these things and take them as they come and hit them head on.
And when's your renovations going to start?
Start of June.
Start of June,
yeah, okay. We're starting into those.
And what's your process in renovation? Is it pretty much the same as everyone else, or you got something else? You got a contractor doing it? You doing it yourself? Or?
Yeah, so we've got a contractor coming in to do it. We do things slightly differently. I know a few other clubs in the Premier League have used this machine, so we're going to dry jet it for the third year in a row, and that helps break down and inject sand into the clean sand, sorry, pure sand into the surface, which helps with our drainage. Because again, going back to the makeup of the pitch, there were some issues along the lines, and just before I started with drainage issues, and that's where we then had to start putting in a proper aeration regime.
So this dry jetting, is it something that's been happening for a few years here?
Yeah, so the last two seasons we've done that. Who comes in and
does that for you?
That's Ken Sims.
Okay, and how long does that take?
So the dry jet takes about a day and a half.
Right.
A lot of manual labour because we have to carry 25 kilo bags of sand to and from the machine, which you're putting out about 20 tons. So it's a hard day's work.
Just the two of you?
No, there'll definitely be reinforcements that day.
I was going to say, form a chain.
Yeah.
Oh dear, not with a wheelbarrow.
No, we'll have as many as machines as possible and big burly men. I might just have office work that day, I think.
Oh, my back.
Yeah.
Okay. So a day and a half on that, and then, you know, it's what goes on after that?
And then straight in with the Caro, because with the dry jet, the surface actually becomes a bit bumpy. So if we were to Caro then do that, then we'd never have the plain surface that we do. So get that done first.
Do you know when your first match is?
No, we don't. Still waiting on that to be confirmed. Obviously, with Premier League, it starts middle of August, so end of the second week to the third week of August, I would roughly suggest.
Do you normally get some friendlies in before that? Or?
We try our best to get one in. Again, it depends where the pitch is at, depends what the manager wants to do. You know, if he doesn't want one, we don't have one, which is obviously beneficial. It's one less game, isn't it, for us?
One of the other things that you're having to learn now, I guess, is you're now having to deal directly with the management of the football side of things. Have you found that in the 2 weeks? Or have you had much to do with it previous to that?
Well, we had a game on Saturday, so that was my real first.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that one. We can move on. You had to get that in, didn't you?
Of course. So that was my first real dealing with the management team on Saturday. There's been a few times in the last year or two where, you know, maybe Anthony was off and I've had this, you know, cover the games and stuff, but the main dealing with them was on Saturday, knowing exactly what they want. And I think moving forward, it's something that will become key because, you know, I can prepare the pitch how I see fit, but I'm not preparing the pitch for me, I'm preparing the pitch for them. So it's it's having them having honest conversations with me and me having honest conversations with them, because if I can help and aid them in any way to win games, then that's what we have to do.
So, on Saturday, how much longer was it to stop us playing our silky smooth passing? And did you not water it?
No comment.
Okay. We'll ask off camera on that one then. Okay, so, you know, that's a new relationship. You know, but that's obviously got to be interesting and a whole new dynamic for you to deal with.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, I think the good thing about Fulham is it's quite a family-orientated club. Like, everybody's really close. You know, if we come over here to the training ground or the training ground guys come over to here, you know, everybody knows everybody and it's quite nice. So they're very easily approachable. And I think if I was to tell them, oh, you know, you can't go in here, you can't go in there, you know, they'll listen to me as much as I'll listen to them. If they need to do that, then they have to. We just have to just grit our teeth and smile.
And, you know, you always had the ambition to work for a Premier League football club. You fulfilled that ambition.
Yeah.
What have you got left on your ambitions in terms of what else you'd like to do?
For me, it'd just be taking that next step and becoming a grounds manager. So, you know, I'm no rush to move anywhere, go and do that immediately. You know, I want to get some experience and continue growing. For the next few years.
So by grounds manager, you mean sort of like overseeing the whole operation for the club, so the training ground and the stadium.
Yeah.
So when we've finished here, you know, what's the next thing for you to be doing over the next few days, Gareth?
Well, we're quite lucky we've got a 3 week break. So the next few days for me is just sort of repairing what's happened on Saturday and getting a good plan in place coming up for the last four fixtures of the season. Obviously, being a new role, there's quite a lot of stuff in the office for me to do now. Yeah. So that's a good chance for me to get my head around that. And then just get our heads down and make sure the pitch is best as what it is.
And when do you actually get a break?
I don't know. Do we ever get a break in this industry? There's always something, isn't there?
Yeah, just think, do you bugger off when the corporates are on, or do you still have to stick around?
We'll still stick around. We'll be in maybe in the mornings and try and get some of our time back, try and use some holidays. One of the lads at the cottage, he's gone away for 2.5 weeks to America. So if only I was in the plane with him, I would love to be. I'll have to take my holidays later in the year.
Well, let's hope you get one.
Yeah, I know you're telling me.
And yeah, I wish you all the best in what is still a very new role for you, Gareth. And look forward to seeing how you progress and catching up with you in the not too distant future.
Lovely. Thank you very much.